Jeremy Zorn, the protagonist in David Shields' new novel, is a stutterer. So is Shields. On the first page of Shields' novel, Dead Languages, Jeremy says, "We all choose a calling that's the most radical contradiction of ourselves." Shields says that Jeremy's words describe his own choice to become a writer.
I think there's something about the relationship between stuttering and writing. They're both situations in which words have a kind of violent, ecstatic poetry to them. And so I think that much of the book to me is about the connection between stuttering and writing, that in both cases you're simultaneously loving but also hating the oppressive power that words can have upon your life.
You've written that when you were in college and going to the Iowa Writers' Workshop, that you'd spend part of the day in the writing workshop building and then another part of the day in the speech therapy building.
Right.
Was your speech therapist and were your teachers at the Writers' Workshop aware of each other?
I think people at the Iowa Speech and Hearing Clinic, of course, knew that I was a graduate student at the Iowa Writers' Workshop, but I sort of kept it relatively secret, I think, from the workshop that I was a patient in the Iowa Speech and Hearing Clinic. But I think clearly the novel was born there. I was just quite fascinated and at times, I suppose, depressed by this sort of hilarious contradiction that in both places, these four-story, and still are, I suppose, these four-story brick buildings, and both seem to be sort of houses of language, places in which you concentrated on language to a certain extent to the exclusion of life. You're trying to figure out your life through words. And I was just struck by, on the one hand, I was trying to use language beautifully and poetically and sort of in a sort of pleasurable way. And in the other building, I was just trying to say cat correctly. And so there was a sort of, on the one hand, I felt like I was about 6 years old, and on the other hand, I felt like I was, you know, a sort of would-be writer. So that contradiction that between being a sophisticated user of language and a really remedial user of language struck me as two parts of my own soul that I've always struggled with and been fascinated by, and somehow wanted to write a novel that expressed that contradiction.
Let me ask you to read an excerpt of your novel, and this is a passage that really directly confronts how it makes you feel about language when you stutter.
This is from the beginning of chapter 6. I had gotten it into my head that because my interlocutor never knew what I was going to say, and once I said it, he never understood exactly what I meant. It was incumbent upon me to underscore the impossibility of human communication by stuttering. I actually believed that. I thought it was my duty to insert into every conversation the image of its own absurdity. Worse than that, I came to think all fluent speech was, quote, fascistic, a word I had learned from mother, was an assertion of authority in the one enterprise in which any assertion of authority struck me as ludicrous.
I think as a writer, you've been able to turn stuttering into something of a metaphor.
That was certainly my intention. What do you think it's a metaphor for you? Or I guess that's something I should answer.
Yeah. I'm glad you said that.
Well, to me, it's really a metaphor for really human communication generally. Everyone in the book, virtually every character from major characters to minor characters, has what I would call a kind of disguised stutter. And so much of what the book is about is how hard it is to communicate your true self by speaking or through language. And I think what Jeremy sort of slowly realizes in the course of the book is that he's not the only person who stutters. I mean, he has the sort of stupidity to actually dramatize it by stuttering badly, but that everyone in the book and virtually everyone in life, by virtue of being human, has trouble using language to communicate their true self. And I think once you realize that, you start giving yourself a slightly less hard time and start to understand how difficult things are for virtually everyone to use language in a completely communicative way. And so to me, stuttering really becomes a kind of metaphor for really the difficulty of human communication generally.
Do you have words that are trouble spots for you, particular sounds?
Uh-huh. Primarily, words starting with vowels seem to be almost exclusively the words that I tend to have trouble on.
Now, does that have any carryover in your writing?
Well, I think that it does, actually. I mean, I think I tend to love sound much more than most writers. I'm sure you're aware of sort of the contemporary vogue of minimalism, which thankfully is sort of slowly coming to a kind of grinding halt now. But minimalism tends not to pay much attention to the sound of words, tends not to be written in a very dramatic, loud-voiced way. And I, as a stutterer, feel a tremendous burden when writing to make language really fly, to make the language really take off as a sound system. And so I think it really has had a really quite a huge effect on the kind of writing that I like to read and the kind of writing that I like to try to write. Specifically, I try to write in which the language really takes quite high precedence and specifically has a kind of poetical stuttering about it. I mean, most of the sentences in the book have a kind of buried stutter to them, and that's quite intentional.
When your new book was published, did you have to decide whether or not you were going to do interviews? I don't know how self-conscious you still are about stuttering.
Uh-huh.
And I always think, gosh, you know, on radio, all you have is your voice. You know, it's like
right.
All people know about you is the way your voice sounds. And
Sometimes
that's to your advantage and sometimes it's to your disadvantage.
Mm-hmm.
And I was wondering if you had decided to be self-conscious about that, not to worry about that. Like, what, do you know what I mean? Like, what your attitude was going to be about...
Well, it's a very good question. I think the main thing for me is that it just seems like simply good practice. I've been spending a good portion of the last few weeks giving readings in New York and Boston and Seattle and sort of traveling about the country giving readings, and that's, you know, a true test in which I'm just sort of reading aloud from the book and tend to, in fact, stutter much more dramatically there than when speaking. And so, you know, it just seems to me that, you know, there are sort of two approaches. One, just simply never go out of the house, you know, and don't, you know, talk. But that just seems to, in fact, kind of exacerbate the stutter. And instead, I'm a full-time teacher of creative writing, and I just think the more I've gone out and spoken, the better control I have over my speech, as opposed to half a dozen years ago in which I simply used every excuse I could to avoid speaking in public, didn't give readings, would have students read passages in class, and all these kind of crutches I would rely on. And the more I've done things like give readings or show up on radio or teach in a class and don't avoid speaking a lot, kind of hard to teach without speaking, I just feel like it's simply reduced a lot of the anxiety I felt and has simply made me a better speaker and a better teacher and just a more, you know, communicative person, I suppose, or something like that. I just think it's good for my speech to not avoid situations and simply try to gain control over them and speak well in them.